20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and usually if we end up recording late on a Monday night, we're talking about a Monday night football game. Today, me, Eli Berkovitz, and Janelle Mackey stayed up late past our bedtimes to watch Aaron Rodgers on Kenny Mayne's last SportsCenter show on Monday night. We're breaking it all down for you guys, talking about what we're going through, all of the feelings with you. I'm sure that it's the news that everyone's going to be talking about tomorrow. Janelle, Eli, how are you doing? How are you processing everything that we saw there? It was a whole lot of nothing, and then about 30 seconds of maybe something, and then 30 seconds of nothing. So, Eli, I'm going to start with you because you seem to be handling this the worst out of all of us. So just tell us how you're going right now.
Yeah, so, you know, naturally my head goes to the worst possible place it can find and looking for every negative part. But I want to preface this with nothing really new was said. No crazy quote that anyone's going to be jumping on. I mean, the media will because that's what they do. But I didn't see anything that was like, oh, my God, that really changed my perception on what's happening. But I will say that I didn't love Rodgers' tone when discussing the Packers. It almost felt like he kept talking about them in the past tense, like someone moving on. And then obviously you have, you know, him talking about the players, about the fans, about the coaches. Didn't say a word about anyone in the front office. And we know, obviously, that's where a lot of the issues lie. He even went out and said, you know, the draft pick didn't bother him. He loves Jordan. He's a great kid. And continued to say that, you know, his issues, I guess, it's just kind of about the philosophy, the character, the culture. So that statement is what really made me the most nervous because, number one, the Packers always seem like the team that has the right culture, has the right character, like so important to them, and the right philosophy. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't seeing that and he's thinking they're going in a different direction than he sees it, that makes me nervous because we all know he wants to win. That's his number one thing. He wants another ring. And if he thinks the Packers' philosophy is just draft, develop, and hoping some of these guys hit, some did, most didn't, but some did. But right now he's realizing he doesn't have 4 to 5 years to mess around with a group of rookies. He needs veterans who could come in and make impacts on day one. And I think he's just fed up with year after year after year of getting acclimated to rookie receivers or undrafted receivers or all that kind of stuff, as opposed to just, hey, now, and I'm not saying this trade for Julio, but I'm saying here's a Julio Jones, you know, here's an immediate impact player that's, I think, what he wants. Some, you know, just some say, the team showing him that they're really pushing to win, not in the future. This year, the Bucs, they went all out. They could have mortgaged, and Bucs fans will not care. They could lose for 20 straight years. The Bucs organization went, we are going all in, everything we got on 2020, and it worked, and they won a Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, has always been better than Brady, and at this age, he's for sure better than Brady. And we still have a good team around Aaron Rodgers, a damn good team, in my opinion. So he just wants to win. I think the front office needs to show that to him, not just show it, but maybe act upon it. And then things can get hopefully on better terms and we can maybe get an extension, something like that. But right now, yeah, I mean, this did not help my nerves, to say the least, since draft night. I'm still pretty on edge.
Janelle, do you have anything to follow up with that?
Yeah, I mean, geez, Eli, give me something to talk about.
Sorry, I'm very heated right now.
I know that this is something Eli is extremely passionate about, so I was okay with letting him talk there. I mean, Rodgers' guy, obviously I know kind of how he feels about it, but I try and look at things a little bit more optimistically. I kind of look at Rodgers listing off the things that he loves kind of as a, okay, there's still hope, because there are things that he still does love and shows that he loves about Green Bay, whether it's players, fans, whatever it is. I try and look at it that way. I mean, for the most part, he had that kind of stupid grin on his face the whole time he was talking, so you don't know exactly what he's thinking or what's going on, what's being said between the lines, which kind of throws you off because, you know, everybody knows that Roger smile where it's like, okay, this could mean a thousand different things aside from what he's saying. But yeah, I think I don't know if I left watching that interview more or less one way or the other. I think a lot of people maybe are a little bit confused just because, okay, I truthfully wasn't expecting him to actually say anything about it. So shout out to Kenny Mayne for actually provoking some type of conversation, even though Rodgers kept trying to steer away from it. He did get him to talk about it a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if this really tells us one way or the other, like, oh, well, now I'm certain he's gone, or, oh, well, he's for sure going to be here. I think it's still a lot of gray area, and I think that's kind of purposeful from Aaron Rodgers. I think that's what he kind of just does. He doesn't really put it all out on the table. He doesn't show his hand right away. He's going to just kind of tease everybody, give just enough to talk about it, but not enough where we all can kind of know exactly what's going on. And I think, I don't know, him not showing up to OTAs, whatever, he doesn't have to, but this conversation didn't really do much. It was kind of more just Rodgers wanted to be there to kind of congratulate Kenny Mayne on a fantastic career, and of course, he's provoking questions, so he's kind of bare minimum answering them, but I think for the most part, he only did it because he wanted to be there for a friend and not really talk about him. He wanted to talk more about Kenny. So he obviously didn't give us a whole lot of context, but just enough to kind of leave us questioning, which we already were doing. So it's really nothing different. It's just kind of something from his perspective now that we can talk a little bit about.
Yeah, I agree. It's something I think we all built up a little bit today just because there hasn't been much of anything to discuss, at least anything new, anything real. This was the first time, obviously, Aaron Rodgers has spoken to anybody in the media publicly since draft day, when all of this kind of started to break and all the plans were put into motion. Personally, from my point of view, I kind of fall sort of, yeah, like right in the middle of what you guys are saying is we didn't learn anything new today. And I think really, It didn't make me feel better about the situation, but it really didn't make me feel any worse about it either. To me, the way I kind of viewed that is if he's basically kind of saying the problem is the front office. That's what I got out of that. Obviously, we're reading into everything that he's saying with this. He may have, I mean, literally just could have not mentioned the front office, because who mentions the front office? Like, it literally could just be as simple as that. I know it's probably not, but I mean, it could just be that. But if that's intentional and the problem is with the front office, then that does become a bigger issue, or at least kind of puts the issue more in perspective, that it's not so much about a contract. It's not really so much about, I don't think it's about bringing in this player or that player or bringing in guys ready now. I think it's more the issue is a personal issue with him and Aaron Rodgers, or him and Brian Gutekunst. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy that is, from what we've kind of seen in recent years, ever since he's been a little bit more outspoken, he's very one to stick by his morals. You know, he has a strong moral code. He feels certain ways, and he's doesn't really care if you don't like that or if that doesn't vibe with you. He's going to just do what he does. And so if that's an issue between him and Brian Gutekunst, I just find it hard to imagine that kind of gets rectified by any kind of contract or money or free agent signing or whatever. And so to me, that kind of signals I'm going to play out the rest of this contract and then I'm moving on. You know, I don't think that he's going to be one to force any sort of trade out of here or force any kind of big decision to be made on his behalf. I don't think that's what he wants. I think he just wants – I think he wants one more chance with this team. I think he does realize that this is a team that gives him the best chance to do something else the rest of his career. And then he's going to be done with the Packers. Does that mean retirement? Does that mean somewhere else? I don't know. But play out the rest of this contract, and I'm done with Brian Gutekunst. I'm not working with Brian Gutekunst anymore. That's what I sort of get out of that whole situation. Just real quick to read sort of part of what he said. This was Jen Latta on Twitter writing this all down. It's kind of about a philosophy. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP. So this is kind of the spill of it all. The most important thing, the Green Bay has always been about people, from Curley to Lombardi and Bart Starr, Holmgren, Favre. And it's just all about, he just keeps saying that it's all about the people. Which let me ask you about this, guys, because I kind of, this is where I sort of push back on Aaron a little bit here. Because a couple years ago we had the celebration of 100 years of the Green Bay Packer organization. The Green Bay Packers are going to be around after Aaron Rodgers, and they were here 90 some years before Aaron Rodgers. And they'll be here after every player that's on this team is gone. And so I understand that it's the players that make up this team, and it's the players and the culture that they put there and everything else. But the organization, Aaron, is what got you here. It was the organization putting you in this position. It was the organization.
They drafted him.
Right. They drafted you. They've put all the pieces around you. So that's where I push back on Aaron a little bit, is like, I get that maybe you're a little sore with management at the moment, but they've got a job to do too, and it's not always making you happy, you know?
Okay, I agree. And number one, I fully agree that no one player should have control over a team. There's a million moving parts to an NFL organization. But at a certain point, when you have a player of Aaron Rodgers' caliber entering his now 14th year as a starter, 17th year in the NFL, again, I don't think anyone's expecting him to be on draft night making the picks, or in March calling up, you know, the free agents making deals. But I just think he wants the respect of the front office to listen to him, hear his opinion, and again, not just hear it, but try to at least act on it the best they could. And again, we have no idea. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Trades in the draft didn't work out, or signings in the offseason didn't work out. We don't know all the story. None of us do. But I will say that, you know, Dan, you kind of said, you know, the Packers franchise got him here, which is true. They drafted him. They had him sit behind Favre for 3 years, which at the end of the day clearly was the right move, because we've seen what it turned into. But at the same time, since Aaron Rodgers became Aaron Rodgers, the Packers have been a lot more reliant on Aaron Rodgers than Aaron Rodgers is reliant on the Packers. With no Aaron Rodgers, the last 13 years of Packers teams would be a lion. We'd be the Lions. We'd be the Bear. No, the Bears might even be better. That's the sad part. We would be a 4-6 team. We'd be a 4-6 win team per year at best without Aaron Rodgers with the roster the Packers had. And I agree, at a certain point, organization over player, but I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers is asking so much that the Packers can't simply just say, okay, we'll do that. You know, if they already offered the money, then what more could it be? What possibly more could it be that is having them, they say no, when you have Matt LaFleur at a press conference saying, we want Aaron Rodgers back in the worst way possible. If you want him back that badly, then you meet his demands. To me, it doesn't make sense.
Well, but then what's the demands? Is it to keep Jake Kumerow? Like, if that's the breaking point for Aaron Rodgers, that just seems so.
But it's not so pedantic, it's a build-up, though. But it's just a buildup of thing after thing after thing, and then he goes out the day before Kumerow gets cut. He praises him, talks about how excited he is to work with him. And then James Jones, I don't know if it was a tweet or if it was on NFL Network, he said himself, he spoke to Aaron, and Aaron looked at Devontae and Cobb as one and two, and Kumerow was going to be the number three receiver that year. And or whoever two, maybe MVS was two, Devontae was one, whatever year it was. But Aaron Rodgers considered Jay Kumerow as his wide receiver three. He trusted him. That's all that matters. If you're a quarterback and you have trust in your receiver, that is the biggest thing a quarterback can have. So for him to go on TV, praise Jay Kumerow, and be excited about the wide receiver group, and if the following day for them to cut him to keep Malik Taylor, who caught five passes last year, I'm sorry. To me, that seems like a slap in the face. It's like, hey, I just advocated for this guy. I like this guy. I'm the one who throws this guy the football. I trust him. I don't know my we don't know his relationship with Malik Taylor, but he has always been high on Kumerow, and I don't care what his production says, he'll make it work. Jordy Nelson isn't necessarily the most athletic freak ever, but obviously Rodgers had a connection with him, and it worked. It worked damn well. So, no, I'm not calling Jay Kumerow Jordy Nelson, but if you're a quarterback, you have a connection with a receiver, you keep that receiver. That's just logic. Why would you not? I know it was a small player.
Because the player is Jay Kumerow, though. Well, I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from, and I think it's a valid point. I really do. But then again, at the same time, like on the other end of the spectrum, it's like it's Jay Kumerow.
Okay, but see that exactly though, Dan. But you're saying it's Jay Kumerow, but in Aaron Rodgers' head, it's Jay Kumerow. This is my number three guy. This is someone I can trust on third downs. This is someone I can trust who's going to be where I expect him to be, you know, running his routes and doing his assignments. So I get it. Most of the NFL world probably never even heard of Kumerow, or maybe they did because of just for fun. But in Aaron Rodgers' mind, at least according to James Jones, Kumerow was going to be the wide receiver three that year and going to make a contribution. And then they just cut him the day after Rodgers came out publicly and praised him.
I haven't talked in like 10 minutes. I don't really jump in on Eli's rants. I don't know. I mean, I get it. If just kind of like speaking as if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I can understand the frustration when you kind of find something you think works. You know, hey, I think this is going to help us be successful. And then the organization kind of turns you down. But I mean, realistically, yeah, football's a business. It sucks. Obviously, players that I've loved have got cut from this team. To some extent, Rodgers has to also understand that they're trying to do their best job. So, I don't know. I kind of try and see both sides of everything, which is what makes it tough, because obviously I love Aaron Rodgers, but I also love the Packers. I love the Packers even without Aaron Rodgers, but hopefully they can all work it out together, and we don't have to worry about that. It's just, yeah, it's kind of what is it that is going to make him want to come back if it's really that broken? Like, everybody, obviously, all the people that are close to Rodgers talk about how it's fixable, but we realistically don't know what it is that needs to be fixed specifically. You know, we all kind of have our assumptions based on what's being said, what's being reported. But, I mean, yeah, we know, okay, so Jay Kumerow obviously was an upsetting factor to Rodgers. And, I mean, yeah, Jay Kumerow, it might not seem like anything, but, you know, it's kind of like when you've kind of reached your boiling point and the smallest thing maybe sets you off. Obviously, he kind of mentioned in that Kenny Mayne interview that this is stuff that has been stirring for roughly a year now, and then the MVP win kind of opens things up to boil over like that, because obviously now he's proven himself. So it's kind of, there's just a lot up in the air, a lot of stuff in the conversation. You know, he talks about how he loves Jordan Love, didn't mind the pick, but, you know, obviously talking about how a year ago is when all this kind of started, so it's easy to kind of speculate one way or the other. And I think that's just kind of what causes all this confusion, is that, you know, the timeline kind of falls with the whole Jordan Love thing, but he says he does love Jordan. So like I said, he could love him, but could still be upset about the situation just given everything that he has said. I don't know. It's just there's still so much that we could talk about, so much that we could assume, but you know what happens when you assume. So that's what makes it really tough. And obviously everybody is just keyboard angry on social media about it. Everybody has an opinion, you know. Rodgers, he seemed relatively happy during that interview just to be doing it. This is the first time we've really seen him talk and come out. And, you know, he's just kind of trying to live his best life. And I think that's what's frustrating. I'm going to kind of segue into, obviously, the him not showing up to OTAs. But, you know, people so frustrated with him enjoying time in Hawaii with his fiance. You know, football's not going to be his life forever. He's trying to build life after football. So I wish people would stop getting mad at him for enjoying vacation time with his fiance Shailene and friends and enjoying a wedding. And you know, these practices aren't mandatory for him. Yeah, it's the first time that he's missing them according to reports, but also maybe he didn't have reasons before because he's been so football focused. You know, I think there's just so much more going on in his life now where football isn't maybe in the direct spotlight. It's kind of sharing the spotlight with other things. So that could also be a factor too. Again, just full on speculation with that, but there's a lot more going on in Aaron Rodgers' life now where he has to kind of consider things from a different perspective. So that's just kind of, again, I just, same as everybody else, my mind is just kind of stirring. I'm just kind of blurting out what's coming into my mind. But yeah, I mean, Rodgers, he has 1,000 things to think about now. And as you get older, you kind of have to think about nearing, like, obviously he's going to near the end at some point, but, you know, obviously planning for life after football and having to kind of build that security. So maybe that's what is kind of causing issues with the Packers, is just kind of needing to know what the future looks like with this team and kind of having that security with them before anything can happen.
Yeah, and I think what it is, to like just kind of to kind of summarize what I'm thinking and feeling about it is, you know, he made this comment very early on in the interview, which I think a lot of people caught, was he made the reference to Wedding Crashers at the beginning, where he's talking about, you know, like, well, you can get some, like, you get some miles, I'll get some miles, you know, you want to throw a little bit our way, that's fine too, you know, just kind of working out that negotiation. And he was talking, you know, I think, if I remember right, when he was talking about it, he was talking about, you know, talking with Kenny Mayne. Not, he wasn't referring exactly to the situation with the Packers, but I think that that's kind of in the back of his head. That it seems like a bit of a Freudian thing. And, you know, I think maybe that's kind of where we're at right now. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers have been married for 16 years now. And, you know, a lot of relationships and marriages and things like that end not because someone did something wrong or, you know, or cheated on you or, you know, did something, but you just kind of find yourself in, you grow and you find yourself in different places. And the Packers, I think, grew and found themselves in a different scenario. And I think Aaron Rodgers has sort of found himself in a different scenario. Like what you just said, Janelle, I think he's in a very different place right now than he was 5-10 years ago, when football was his entire life. He was an absolute grinder, and you know, we didn't, it was kind of before, you know, the pre you know, bohemian Aaron Rodgers that we've gotten over the last couple of years.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right, yeah, like, you know, like he's near the end of his career. He knows that he's in the most committed relationship we've seen him in. He's planning on getting married. He's spending time, you know, starting his family, basically, you know. And the Packers a couple of years ago had a complete change. And I think that's where the biggest rift is he didn't have Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy anymore. That was who he had his entire career. He felt comfortable with that. They knew him. They were all intertwined together. Now you have a new regime coming in that has a different mindset. And, you know, if this had happened 5-10 years ago, maybe Aaron Rodgers is more open to it. Maybe it doesn't sit as poorly with him. But now that he's in a different mindset and the Packers are in a different mindset, now you have these two that work together that find themselves have grown differently and maybe have grown apart. And so maybe it's time in the near future. I'm not saying now, but I think maybe that's where we kind of realize the Packers and Aaron know that we have three more years left of this. We're going to do everything we can. We know that this is coming to an end. And once it's done and we've moved on. We're moving on to the next chapter of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact details of this with the whole, when they switched to Goody for GM and there was the Russ Ball or Goody kind of thing. I remember Rodgers having a pretty strong opinion leaning towards Goody over Russ Ball, which is why it's a little bit confusing, at least from what it seems, that the biggest issues are between Goody and Rodgers as opposed to anyone else in the organization. But once again, like, my overall feeling, and Rodgers said it again tonight, he loves loyalty, he loves the fans, he loves the people. Like, for him, and he's mentioned in the past, you know, whether it was Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant, someone going and starting their career somewhere and finishing it in the same place is special. And I think he wants that. I think he's seen other veterans in the NFL leave their longtime home and then become irrelevant on some other team where they're not that good because they were a crappy team to begin with. So they traded all of their assets and then you're just stuck with a bad team. So I think Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to know that ending up in Denver or Las Vegas isn't going to bring him a Super Bowl if all of your talent and future draft picks are coming to the Packers' way. You're not going to win like that. And I know, at least, okay, I can't say I know, but I believe Aaron Rodgers' number one goal is to win another ring. And either of you can dispute me on this if you'd like to, but is there a team within the whole, whether it's the Packers or anyone involved in the trade discussion, that gives Rodgers a better chance at a ring than the Packers?
No.
I want to say no, but I also I talk about being optimistic, but I feel like if a team were to figure out a way to acquire him, I don't enjoy saying that, but if they were, that team would have to go all out and try and get anybody they can.
They would have nothing left.
Right, exactly.
They would, you know, yeah. It would have to be that year that it'd have to be a Tom Brady with the Buccaneers situation where they get him and it has to be that year or nothing, because that there's just not any teams.
But even still, let's say you ended up on Denver.
There's not any teams, so I feel like you need a quarterback that kind of, you know, have an entire team minus a quarterback where it's like Rodgers is the only missing piece. I think that any organization would have to definitely build around him, which isn't that kind of what he would want the Packers to do? And they're kind of trying to do that. So that's what would confuse me, is if he's trying to chase another Super Bowl, especially, you know, coming in, Packers are making changes with the defense and the special teams, and they drafted some very key players. I don't know.
That's good. You're saying that's good.
Yeah, I think that the Packers last year, I don't remember which of you have talked about this with, but, you know, last year felt like drafting for the future, and this year felt like drafting for the now. So it's kind of just hoping that maybe Rodgers sees that, you know, this is the team that wants to go all in right now. They don't want to win in a few years. They want to win this year. And hopefully those are things that he can see. Again, don't know exactly what the key issue is, what is making this whole mess happen. But I feel like the Packers are trying right now to do their best to be the best team that they can. And hopefully that persuades their MVP quarterback to be with them in week one. I mean, there's only so much you can do, unfortunately. You know, if Rodgers genuinely doesn't want to be here, then you really can't make him be here. So that's what's tough. And I don't think that it's so sour that Rodgers is going to put his foot down like that and, you know, completely turn his back to the organization. But again, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. We don't know the conversations that they're having. You just kind of hope that things are trajecting in a positive way, And I think a lot of that is why, you know, Rodgers, he seems to be a relatively private person. So I wasn't expecting to get much out of this interview. I think obviously there's some things you can nitpick from it, but I mean, it makes it really tough to kind of understand somebody who's so private and kind of has that philosophical thought process. You never really know what's going on inside his head until he breaks it down for you. So we're probably going to be questioning for a while. I don't remember the exact date that he is mandated to.
June 8th, I believe.
June 8th. So still got a few, I think that's probably like 2 weeks or so. Still got some time before he actually has to be there, and then we'll know if it's an actual issue or not. But I mean, there's just so much up in the air right now. We could, obviously, this has been the talk since the draft, and I kind of can't wait till it's over. I hope that it ends on a positive note, but I think a lot of people are just kind of getting sick of the narrative and kind of everything that comes with it, how every little thing that Rodgers does draws attention, people try and pull narratives that maybe don't exist or whatever. But I mean, I've seen some tweets saying, you know, Kenny asked about if he wanted to be traded and he kind of ignored the question, but you know, is that purposeful? Why, like, would he really come out and just give a flat out answer? I think he sometimes likes to leave everybody thinking until he wants to say it himself, you know, if that makes sense. So I think a lot of the point of this interview was he wanted to do it for Kenny. He kind of gave gray area answers, and he, for the most part, I mean, we've been seeing this basically since that post-game interview after the NFC Championship game loss. He always gives very vague answers that leave you questioning. So I really wasn't expecting anything different. I think that's exactly what we got. That's just kind of how he's been, and you can read into it all you want, but until basically he has to show up, then we'll maybe know a little bit more. Okay, this is a little worse than we thought or a little better than we thought, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, Dan. Yeah, just about what you were saying in regards to him. Forgot what I was going to say. Dan, take it away. I'm sure it'll come back to me.
If it comes back to you, just interrupt me and tell me to shut up.
Absolutely.
No, Janelle, I think everything you said exactly right. And I think that it goes back to really nothing. Nothing came out of this as I think we all kind of expected it. Now we're still just waiting until June 8th. Go ahead, Eli. I'll let you take it away.
just so I don't forget. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off. But I just think that, like Jen said, how private he is and all that, like, he knew if he's going to go on SportsCenter, Kenny Mayne, retirement show, you're going to get asked these questions. And in my opinion, if he was like 100%, I'm out, I am leaving, I am not going back to Green Bay, I don't think he would put himself in a position to be asked those questions. Because even if he just denied it, the body language, this, that will be nitpicked, everything. I think just the fact that he was willing to make that public appearance, even if he just wants to sit there and say it's all about Kenny Mayne's retirement and his career, which was a great career, and congrats to Kenny. I hope he enjoys retirement. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers maybe makes that appearance if in his mind he knows he's leaving the Packers, because he knows he's going to be asked about it. And if in his mind he's already gone, you're going to have the whole media going at you with anything you say. And the fact that he came on makes me feel like, you know, they're still negotiating, or he's still optimistic that he's going to be there. Because in my opinion, I'm starting to believe that he never wanted to. Like, this has kind of been an orchestrated attempt at showing the front office that he needs to maybe have more of a say in what's going on. And that while he would, if he absolutely have to, leave Green Bay, but in the end, he really does not desire to leave Green Bay, is my general belief.
Well, and just kind of, you know, with the way he talks and stuff, I mean, this is the first time he's come out and said anything, and I totally understand why he's been quiet up until this point and why he really didn't say much, because he knows anything that he says will, and probably like it will be taken out of context. Everything will become a story. So
people do half hour podcast episodes about it.
Exactly. It was like, you know, it's the same reason a lot of us ignore people on our social medias, because, you know, it's just not worth the conversation. You don't want things to be taken out of context. Not everything needs a reply. So especially being Aaron Rodgers and in the situation he's in, he knows that anything is that's said, any comment he makes, it'll all turn into a giant story. I mean, he posts stuff about the $500,000 he's raising for small businesses, and it's everybody's just like, are you coming back? What's the situation? Screw you, whatever. It's like he's out here doing amazing things for small businesses, and people are also so focused on like what he's doing, making him out to be a monster because whatever, maybe like they don't truly know the situation, but they're mad at him. And it's like, I think that's a lot of the reason why this is the first time we're really seeing anything from him, because if it wasn't Kenny Mayne, his retirement, he probably never comes on and does anything like this. So I think, yeah, he knows what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers is a very smart man, obviously. So he knows what he's doing. He knows how to kind of sway his words. I don't know. I don't know the next time we'll actually hear anything from him, but he's just kind of out there trying to live his best life and basically avoid all of us at all costs and just kind of be happy. But I mean, kudos to him trying to live his best life. It's just, it's exhausting for us, obviously, as fans, to kind of watch it drag out. But you have to kind of understand, you have to see from both sides why he is kind of doing the things he is.
Yeah, and I think that we'll kind of wrap up with that, kind of what you were saying, Janelle. You've mentioned it a couple times before already, is, you know, before this happened tonight, we all knew it was coming. But before this, you know, the news was missing OTAs and videos of him in Hawaii partying with his fiance and Miles Teller, and singing bad karaoke, playing guitar, dancing like drunk white people like to dance. And yeah, I'm with you, Janelle. I think a blanket statement is just bleep all of you if you are mad at Aaron Rodgers for that or criticizing him for this. I really did not understand the hatred or the vitriol that I saw from some people that are fairly big names in the Packer Twitter verse. Was very shocking to see some of the replies, like, guys, it's not even Memorial Day yet. The cicadas haven't even fully come out yet in the Midwest. Like,
I promise
relax.
You, if I could be in Hawaii instead of going to work, I would.
I would exactly that. Like, you tell me, if your boss told you, here's this voluntary meeting you can come to, or you can go to Hawaii with your fiance and friends, which one would you do? And I think that should answer all of your questions.
Which I think the most surprising thing in that video is I didn't know Rodgers played guitar. So it's there's all these things that, you know, he's enjoying
doing. He's a big music guy.
Yeah. So it's just kind of cool to see him in his element outside of football. And like Shailene has said in interviews before, she sees him as a very different person. She doesn't see him as the football guy. And I think that you can kind of see that in these videos. Like, mm-hmm. He's just himself. And truthfully, if you're an Aaron Rodgers fan, just kind of watching him like that should make you happy. And I get it. I'm a Packer fan and an Aaron Rodgers fan, but this wasn't like he was ditching mandatory practice to go be in Hawaii. That's not happening. Obviously, he's been there a while, because I don't remember when he first got there, when the reports first happened that he was in Hawaii. But, you know, let him enjoy his time. He's put so much time into this organization where missing the voluntary OTAs is not the end of the world.
Okay, I totally agree with you, Jen, but a little not breaking news of any kind, but Adrian Amos tweeted 10 minutes ago, sometimes you got to let people know who really runs shit. And I don't know about you two, but Aaron Rodgers runs the Packers, in my opinion. So, not to, wrap anything up or whatever. Yeah, my bad on that loud sound. But for the two of you, if right now it was Aaron Rodgers or Brian Gutekunst, where are you going?
I mean, I would probably take Aaron Rodgers.
I don't want to say.
Because you want to see Rodgers.
I can see both, obviously, just because I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. This is where I want to see him. But I also understand Gutekunst has made more moves than people realize. He'll kind of always be on my shit list, considering the first thing he did was cut Jordy. So I'll always have that little bit of beef with him. So sometimes I get where Rodgers is coming from. But, I mean, he's done some incredible things, too, and that's what makes it tough. He is trying to build that team around Rodgers. But I just think, I can't not pick Rodgers.
I mean, okay, I guess I'll say it. I'm not taking the quarterback that's basically said he's only one going to be here for the next 3 years.
Well, no, he... Well,
then you just bring Gutekunst back in 3 years.
No. No, if he was given the opportunity for more than 3 years, I'm sure he would take it. I think the main thing was that he's saying, you better give me at least 3 years. But like I think I said last week's show, when he was on the Rich Eisen show last offseason, he'd be very specific. I want to play till I'm 45, win a Super Bowl, and ride off into the sunset. And I get that's not the case for everyone, but I'm saying if he's 40 and wants to continue playing, and assuming the Packers are continuously good during the next 3 years, I don't see any reason why he would play for a different team unless we had another Jordan Love situation. But assuming he's playing well and he's 40 and wants to continue playing, it wasn't like he said, I want to play in Green Bay till I'm 40, but then I really want to go to the Niners to finish my career. It was like, no, like, just give me till 40. Just give me these 3 years.
I mean, let's be honest here, too. Aaron Rodgers is in the best bargaining position of his entire career.
Yeah,
essentially, at this point. He is the most value right now. And so if he's upset about this, then, yeah, it makes sense. But let's also recognize that he's in this situation because of what Brian Gutekunst has done. Because of what Mark Murphy did, we could still be toiling away with Ted Thompson, RIP, and Mike McCarthy. Like, imagine, like that's where the issue was. The decline that we were seeing was because of the team and the coaching staff and everything around Aaron Rodgers not working well together. What happened? They brought in Brian Gutekunst. He makes all the changes that he needs to make. He rebuilds the team and the offense in what he wants to do and what Matt LaFleur's vision of the offense is. And what happens? Aaron Rodgers balls out. We'll never know if Matt LaFleur isn't here with this system and Brian Gutekunst doesn't make the moves that he does to put the team around him if Aaron Rodgers plays at the same level.
On the LaFleur point. I don't know so much offensively. In terms,
well, but the de- I mean, look at the
defensively,
defense.
I agree.
I mean there's so many Even moves. That Brian,
we still always somehow lose in the playoffs due to our defense. But continue.
We lose in the playoffs because the playoffs are a fluke. Anyways,
yeah.
There's two sides to this. It's a lot more 50-50 than I think a lot of people like to admit. They say, well, Aaron Rodgers came out and he had an MVP season. They were expecting him to suck, and that's why. I don't think that's really what they were expecting. I think what they were expecting was exactly what they had. They want Aaron Rodgers to succeed in this offense. That's why they built this offense around basically being able to make it easier for Aaron Rodgers late in his career, so that he's not playing hero ball, so that he's not having to shoulder a terrible defense and do all these things. This is exactly what we've wanted this organization to do around Aaron Rodgers. And so I feel
it
comfortable.
It hasn't worked. It's worked to a point, but then you get run over for almost 300 yards versus the Niners.
But there's only so much you can do in a short amount of time. And then also, again, I have to say, I keep reiterating to everybody that points to points to rings, rings, rings. The playoffs, especially football, are a gigantic crapshoot.
Of course.
It's not the best team that wins. It's not always the team that deserves to win. A million things happen to make it to the Super Bowl. And it doesn't matter sometimes. If you make every right move, you can still lose on a fluke play. You can still lose on a couple of calls.
And the double doink got him.
Exactly. And so the organization now has started their new regime with Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. That's what I'm moving forward with. If I want Aaron Rodgers to be a part of that as long as possible. If he doesn't want to be a part of that, then that's going to suck. It's going to hurt. But I'd rather move forward with the organization that's ready to build for the future, keep building for the future, winning now, and have the system in place to be successful with anybody back there, because that's what this team is built around, right? to be successful with anybody and not having to rely on the championship quarterback to be the end all be all of it. That's what this is designed to be on. And so it's a bit of a catch 22 answer, but would you pick Aaron Rodgers or Brian Gutekunst right now? But if it was me, if I'm looking just strictly for the next 10 years or so, I'm picking Brian Gutekunst.
Well, let me ask you this first off. Number one, again, nothing in the NFL is guaranteed. You know, anyone could get hurt on any play, this, that. But Aaron Rodgers, considering his overall health and his diet and the way he's been able to keep in shape, and outside of two fluke collarbone injuries, he's for the most part stayed healthy throughout his career. I find it completely conceivable to imagine he plays another 5 seasons in the NFL. Even if he doesn't get to what he said on Rich Eisen Dream Show, Dream Life 45. If he gets to 42, talking about 5 more seasons of Aaron Rodgers with a lot of the key pieces around him, assuming they get a deal done with Devontae and Jair over the next year or two. So would you prefer moving on with Love into kind of, you know, the unknown, basically, with a maybe promising rookie that, if we're being honest with ourselves, we really don't know. He didn't play preseason. We didn't see any. He didn't take a single snap. We have no idea what he really looks like. Or would you rather trade Rodgers? Yes, get some players, get a bunch of picks, and then, yeah, move on into that. Or do you stick with Rodgers and say, okay, yeah, he's aging, this, that. He also just won an MVP. Let's commit at least the next 3 to 5 years to Aaron Rodgers, build the best team around him we possibly can, and win a ring. If it puts us in some cap issues in the future, oh no, okay. Teams have cap issues every year, and they manage to figure it out. And the new TV deals are going to explode the cap anyway. So I don't want to hear anything about the cap. So all I'm saying is, if the Packers are real about winning, I'm talking about the near future, it's with Aaron Rodgers. Because just also, side point, Devontae Adams, unless the Packers offer him stupid money, is not going to sign with the Packers if Rodgers leaves, in my personal opinion. He'll probably just follow Rodgers, is what I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of made those comments where he'd have to think a little bit harder, which...
Of course.
I mean, of course, that hurts a little bit. But, I mean, you know, Devontae, he's somebody who also wants to win. He wants to be where he can be at his best and most useful. So I don't know. I feel like my brain, the gears in it just are not working right through this whole, everything about the situation. It's just, it almost just feels like a bad dream. We'll all wake up in September and it'll all be okay. So that's just kind of the life I'm trying to live, you know. It's tough. And yeah, I mean, I was a little bit younger, not as into football when the whole Favre thing was happening. So I was a little bit naive during it. You know, I didn't really understand. I just kind of, I felt like I had to hate Brett Favre for it, but really, I don't know if I'll really, you know, I don't think I could ever hate Aaron Rodgers. I've defended him for how many years? Like, basically, there's always been some kind of story about Rodgers, and it just seems like he can't catch a break. But I mean, this one is kind of the more realistic one that has been brought to us. It's just kind of like, it's exhausting that there's always an Aaron Rodgers story and that they're almost never positive. So we don't really have anything, you know, coming off of an MVP season, really don't feel like we get to celebrate the way we want to because all this is happening. And I just want everything to work out, everything to be okay. I don't deal with change well. And I think that's what makes it so hard is I would definitely struggle watching Aaron Rodgers if he were to go play with another team and kind of just
don't speak that blasphemy.
I am just being an honest person here, and you know, it's something that would be extremely difficult. And yeah, I think what would make it 10 times, 100 times harder would be if it were he leaves on bad terms with the Packers. I think there were to be separation between the organization and number 12, I just want it to be in a way that is amicable. And it's like, you know what, just realize that this wasn't working, mutually part ways, still love each other. You know, Rodgers doesn't, you know, F you Green Bay and just go,
you know,
go with someone else. It's, you know, I want a healthy breakup, but I prefer, you know, the mediation, everything's going to work out. That's what I'm hoping for.
You know, Janelle, the response I have to that is, and people in hell want ice water. So
yeah,
I wouldn't expect
chance that happens. So
yeah.
We're just going to break up after 16 years, but it's cool.
We're cool.
I'll see you next week when I beat your ass.
Okay.
And everything's okay.
No, it's cool. I'll see you in week 4 on the Broncos when I beat you 37-4. Nice decision there, Brian. I'm sorry. I love the Packers. Yeah.
I would see Rodgers retiring before I see him in another. I don't know what it is about it.
I would prefer it.
I could see him retiring before he goes and does that.
You know, both of you have taken this into a world of, it's like, okay, where is Aaron Rodgers being traded or retired?
I just try and look at things from all different spectrums, but
I understand that, but some spectrums are the worst.
Where I stand with it. And the only, you know, I don't know. There's only one situation that I will truly be happy with. But, you know, I watched Jordy in a Raiders jersey. Killed me, but I did it. So as long as it's not that god-awful purple, I think
Don't even put the words in the
game. Yeah, don't even put it out there, Janelle.
You know, it's almost midnight, Dan. It's almost 1 a.m. where you are.
I know.
We're
kind That's of why I'm trying to wrap this up.
Conversation and I think we're all just kind of in our emotions right now.
Yeah. I think we've said all we can say at this point about a 5-minute interview with Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter.
That which interview focused mostly not on wrapped up any better. Kenny Mayne with the latest wrap up in interview history.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you check it out. If you didn't watch it live or haven't seen the clip, make sure you check it out because Kenny Mayne did a great job. Again, shout out to Kenny Mayne for being one of the realest OGs on the ESPN network. Guys, we wrap this up. Before we end it, let us know where the people can find you out on the Twitterverse, what you've got to promote coming up, anything at all. Eli, go.
You can find me on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL. You can find all my writing over at PackerReport.com, and then some of my writing and scouting at CrockerReport.com. And of course, check out every Thursday at 6:30, open book on Game On Wisconsin. We actually just had Tremont Williams on the show yesterday, on Sunday. If you had not seen that yet, I highly recommend you check that out.
Yeah, it was a fantastic interview that you guys all did together. Kudos to both of you and Zach as well in there. Amazing interview. Again, if you haven't watched that on Game On Wisconsin's feed, check that out right now. Janelle, what do you got?
Yeah, right now it's all hockey, everything hockey. Obviously, if you follow me, or you probably unfollowed me if you hate hockey, but Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm currently watching the Wild. I might be sad or I could be happy. I don't know. I've got 11 minutes to figure out my mood. But Yeah, everything hockey right now. So obviously the First Line podcast that I do is going to be popping. If you hate hockey, sorry about my feed. You can just mute me until the season's over, but definitely you should be watching it, which Dan, I know you're happy about the Bruins advancing.
Very happy.
So, yeah.
Taylor Hall is going to win me a Stanley Cup and it's going to be amazing.
Taylor Hall, he finessed the league and now he is making his way to the second round of playoffs. But yeah, so First Line podcast where you can find my hockey stuff. I also, obviously, every other Tuesday with you guys on Packaday, I have my Minds of the Game that I do with Brandon Bostic. And then obviously Game on Wisconsin open book every Thursday with Eli and Zach, which Eli just mentioned that we just had Tremont on, which was awesome. So yeah, got to keep busy in the off season. We got a lot of good stuff. So yeah, keeping busy and doing my best to avoid basically anything Packers right now. I'm just hockey world and I'll just be, you know, I don't want to double down on my sadness. So I just kind of focus on hockey.
Jen, you're being highly negative. It's going to be good.
You know, for being an optimistic person, I am extremely negative right now.
You're winning the game. That's the worst part. It's like your team winning. And either way, my final thing is that I still fully believe Aaron Rodgers will be a Packer next season, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, my gosh. Eli, you put something out there, and I thought that Vegas was just going to score, and I was about to punch you through my computer.
Okay, number one, the jinxes don't exist, and Vegas doesn't exist either.
Yeah, Vegas. I was going to say, what is Vegas?
Vegas. Whatever.
You can find me on Twitter, at DK all the way. Not much going on right now. Hopefully have some more things coming up with Game on Wisconsin here in a little bit as we get into the off season. But you can always find me, Eli, and Jen here every other Tuesday on the Pack of Day podcast. Make sure you're following us, subscribe, rate, and review, all of that stuff. Check out over on YouTube, Andy Herman doing all of his stuff on the daily Pack of Day videos. And the other thing too, please, if you haven't done so, take a second to give us a review, give us a 5-star rating if you like the podcast. Let us know what you think. It helps us out a lot, even more so than even just subscribing. It's just as important as doing that. So we really appreciate everyone that's done that. If you haven't done that, really appreciate you to do so. Stick with us for the rest of this offseason as we get closer to the June 8th deadline when we might see the next bit of Aaron Rodgers news. But until then, everybody, until we talk again, take it easy and go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
And Aaron Rodgers, for making us stay up this late just for 5 minutes of that, we have one thing to say to you.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.